I want to talk about the presence of God and the power of stewardship. And we have been given, and what we've just celebrated and what our hearts are welling over with is the power of God's grace that He saved us when we didn't deserve it. He invited us to the table when we didn't deserve it. He forgave our sins. He washed us clean. And He's given us a great salvation. And it doesn't end there. It's a walking out or a living out. And God has called us to be responsible with that salvation that He's granted to us. And imagine if you had, for sake of understanding, you had a condo down in the Bahamas. And you owned it. God gave it to you. You worked hard for it. And you said, you know, I want to allow some of the brothers and sisters to go down and use that for their time of vacation or their time of rest. And someone goes down and uses it, and there's a shutter falling off from the last windstorm, or and the toilet doesn't work. And you could go down there and you could say, well, I guess I'm just going to use the other restroom out down the road here and not do anything about it. Then there's someone that goes down there and sees everything that's wrong with that condo and fixes it. So when the owner comes down, there's no problems. And what do you think that owner is going to do? He's going, or she is going to, trust you with more or allow you to keep coming there. Now, if you misused and trashed the place and left stuff all over and you just let the garbage pile up and then the owner comes down and finds, wow, this place is a wreck. I'm not going to allow them to use this again because they misused it. And all of our Christian life, not just the spiritual part and the physical part, integrated together, we're whole people. In the kingdom of God, we are responsible to be good stewards in the light of God's presence. And, you know, if you knew, if you were that person that left trash and didn't fix the shutters that were, but if you knew the owner was up on the mountain with a telescope looking down on you, I think things would be probably a little different. So it's not that we purposely are not good stewards, it's that we are not aware of the God who is present with us and who wants to bless us, who's always looking upon us. And so Joseph, I think, is the prime example of that. He could have been a victim seething in anger towards his brothers, right? He's going to slavery now in Egypt. As we come to chapter 39, it seemed like God had abandoned him. And many of us, when we come into places like that in our lives, we just give up and we become idle. And we say, well, I might as well not go on. But Joseph, no. He didn't do that. He didn't play the victim card. He didn't say, oh, things are so terrible. My brothers did this. He grew in the Lord. And he became more responsible to God. His faith, instead of being the victim, instead of being the one as woe is me, all this stuff has happened in my life, he clung to the Lord and trusted in Him. And when we come to stewardship, the Webster's Dictionary defines a steward as a person entrusted with the management of estates or affairs not his own. An administrator, a person put in charge of domestic affairs of an establishment. And Joseph is a primary example of that, because instead of being the victim, he chose to trust God. God is always present, but stewards are one that are conscientious or aware of the presence of the Lord. And when we come to worship God, and as we live our lives out, you know, remember we talked about worship, and the problem was my heart when I came to worship and I didn't feel the presence of God and experience the power of God. It was because I was not aware. My heart was not in a place where I was conscientious. I was focused in the throne room of grace, focused on Jesus Christ. Because if you're there, you can be in the middle of a hustle and bustle of life where people are bowing down to idols. And that's exactly what Joseph was. He was taken from his land, taken to Egypt, and there was all kinds of cultic worship going on around him there, yet he still chose to trust the one true God. They were out chanting every morning and every day. And can you imagine a 18-year-old, probably about 18 or 19, 20 at this time, coming into a strange culture, still choosing to follow God while everybody else was, well, let's worship the God of life light over here, and let's worship the God of the earth over here. Let's worship the God of fertility. The Egyptians, they had a lot of them. And as a matter of fact, they worshiped their pharaohs too, their leaders. But in the midst of all that, where it wasn't an atmosphere to drum up a feeling to follow God, Joseph still chose to follow God. And Jesus entrusts us, and there's many passages, and our brother Bruce read one of the things of the parables of the talents, but I want to just read a couple of verses in the New Testament that talk about stewardship. Luke 12:48. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand more. Another passage in Luke 16. One who is faithful. Luke 16 verse 10. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, he's talking about physical wealth here, who will entrust to you the true riches? He's talking about spiritual riches. So if God can't trust us with money, with physical things, how can He trust us with physical things? And if you've been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. He will hate the one or love the other. He will be devoted to the one or despise the other. Well, you cannot serve God and money. How you manage your life, your money, your affairs. Luke 19:26. Jesus says, I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Matthew 25, up to the passage Bruce read this morning. At the parable of the talents, he entrusted them with money or talents. And they didn't. Some of them did a lot with it. Some of them did nothing with it. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away, and cast the worthless servant in the outer of darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now he's talking in the context of what we're going to do with the kingdom of God, because those who have a true relationship with Jesus, their life changes. They don't stay the same. They don't live as a sinner during the week and then all of a sudden show up as a Christian on Sunday. And all this has to do with an awareness of God's presence. And so let's look at Joseph's life in chapter 39, and let's read verses 1 through 3 in Genesis 39. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an official of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had brought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of the Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So I want to talk to you about five marks of God's steward, of someone who is entrusted and is good with God, what God gives them. Number one, God's steward rests on a trusting relationship with the Lord. Now Joseph, 18 years old, 17 years old, we don't know how old exactly he was, but even we know he was in his early 20s and late teens at this time. He had such a trust in God that you don't find him once complaining in Scripture. He had such an intimacy with the Lord that right away, and if you want to circle in your text, I would encourage you to do so, but all throughout this chapter, it's mentioned over and over again, the Lord was with, the Lord was with, the Lord was with, the Lord was with, the Lord was present. See, a trusting relationship with the Lord flows out of God's presence and intimacy with Him. You see, the way to tell if you're really having a true worship experience with God, when you come into the throne, the difference between emotionalism and a true encounter with God is that when you come out of that encounter, it changes how you manage everything in your life. Your spiritual life, your family life, your work life, your school life, your relationships with others. Joseph had such an intimacy with God. He had such a trusting relationship with the Lord that even Potiphar, a pagan, idolatrous, worshiping other gods kind of guy, noticed there's something different about this guy. Because he noticed, it says in the text, that God was the one that made him successful. His master saw in verse 3 that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did. How did this pagan worship guy know? Because in this world, and how will people know in this world when everybody claims to be a Christian, especially in the Bible Belt? Well, I got saved 20 years ago, and their life looks no different than it did 20 years ago, except on Sunday when they're testifying in church. Well, I saw 20 years ago I gave my life to Jesus, and yeah, but you were out beating your wife, you were out drinking in the bar, you were out having affairs, cussing up a storm. How do we know? It's a person who has a trusting relationship with God enough that even people in the world will notice, this is not your regular brand of Christian here or church religious people. These people actually practice what they preach. It's different. And when he says God made him successful, that word successful means to advance, to prosper, to progress, to succeed. Now that sounds like a Christian that doesn't stay the same. They're progressing in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So God, number one, a mark of God's steward is that they rest upon a trusting relationship with the Lord, and that relationship puts a spotlight on the presence of God for people in the world. They're different. Number two, God's steward takes full responsibility to oversee God's blessing. Look in verses 4-6. He says, so Joseph found favor in his sight, and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. How would you like to be in that position that you had no care or concern about anything? Kids, property, paying the bills on time, all that sort of thing. Your biggest concern of the day is, what am I going to have to eat for lunch? Joseph was such a responsible steward with the things God had given him. First of all, he mentions God's favor. He found favor, that's acceptance. But this master, this Egyptian, this Potiphar guy, gave him favor because he had a reputation of a good work ethic. Notice what it says in the beginning of that verse, in verse 4. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and he attended him. Or in some translations it would say was a servant. Joseph attended him. That's to pay careful attention. That's to wait on, to serve, to minister. That's having a very strong work ethic. So for those that think, well, you know, you just have to spend time in prayer in the presence of God and everything else is going to just happen. No, that's the prime and supreme thing. But it also, when we truly encounter this God, we pay careful attention to everything that we have and become responsible for it. Now let's talk about some examples here, because this can apply, and I hope I don't meddle too much in your life, because God really meddled in my life with this. passage and has been for a long time. When I first became an owner of a home and then needed a tractor for the field, and there was former members of our church that had a tractor that they sold me, I had no idea how to use a tractor, really. And I thought that thing could do anything. Pull every stump, push every tree down, all that sort of thing. And guess what I did? I was out there assuming instead of asking anybody, you know, and I tore that tractor up. There was a learning curve here, and that's the grace of God. But here's the thing. Had I had such a high view, like Joseph did, of whatever God gives us to pay close attention, I perhaps would have slowed down and said, is there anyone in the church that's had a tractor and knows what this load could take and how many stumps I can pull out? That sort of thing. Because God gave me this, and I want to make sure and take care of it. Now, God in His mercy gave me another chance, gave me a good friend that said, I'll take your tractor, and He fixed it all for me. So now, you don't see me going 90 miles an hour across the field to mow anymore, or plowing into trees like I used to do, with things that weren't meant to do that thing. But everything that God gives us, a sign of a person who's really aware of the presence of God. Let's talk about, like, you know, God gave us this building even. This is a good example. God gave, what a wonderful place to worship. We have a great fellowship hall. We had just a great time last night. We have great classrooms of wonderful people come in. But you know, you can walk in church buildings all across America and you can tell where people have a high view of God and where they don't, because it still looks like it was in the 1940s, the 1930s, paint's peeling, things are falling down. You can still smell grandma, even though she died 10 years ago in the church pew. Sorry, that was a bad illustration. You know, we need to have those professional editors on the CD and that sort of thing. But the truth is, you know, we're walking down the hallway and we see a piece of trash on the floor. People that have understood and become a good steward of God. These are just tiny examples, but it kind of gets us thinking in the right direction. Instead of walking by it like I do, I'm in a hurry, they stop and they pick it up and dig it out of the carpet and put it in the garbage. Instead of saying, well, someone else will get that, or the janitor will clean that up, or this is all of our, this building God has given to all of us. Not just the janitor or the pastor or whoever. The same thing with our home. Every young people, every gadget that you have, every picture on your wall, every toy or every cool thing that God has ever given you, don't just have it on the floor and kick it around, because God gave it to you. And I want you to know that what we can learn from Joseph, if you've been entrusted and you've been careful with what the little things God has given you, He's going to give you more to be responsible with. I just had a conversation with somebody that is a prayer person, and a lot of people come to this person for prayer. And this person kind of, in some ways, sort of annoyed me about how particular they were about how they kept their house. But they made a statement that when someone comes for prayer and says, I need prayer for a new house or a car, and then in praying for them ends up going to their house and sees that they have not taken care of their house or their things. Just thrown all over, beat up, like as if it's garbage. And then they're asking God for a new house. You see, those that are aware of God's presence, it changes the whole lifestyle. Most of us here have free education. It may not be the best education, public education, but it's a gift from God, so make the most out of it. When I went to Moody Bible Institute, it's the school where the tuition was free. You had to pay for the room and board, but the tuition was free. And because of that, I tried to take a lot of extra courses. Maybe sometimes I took too many because I got an ulcer and it was too much work. But I took a lot of extra classes because it was free. And I spent many hours every evening in that library studying. And I think even my dear wife did even more so, who didn't know English. Imagine her reading a theology book in Bible school, not really knowing English, having to look up every word in the dictionary as she read meticulously. But she's a good example of stewardship. God provided that. She made use of it. So please, I beg you to begin to dialogue with God as He's been messing with me in this area. It's how we take care of the things God has given us. It's how we say, God, You put us in this neighborhood right now in 2019, and let's take care of the things that You've given us. I think we're more likely to update things in our home than we are even in the house of God. And so God has given us stewardship. That's just because we think the pastor owns the church. You know how many times people have asked me that are not a part of the church, so do you own this building? No, I don't. And people have a hard time understanding that it's all of God's people that take ownership or stewardship of what God has given us. So He paid careful attention. He waited upon Him, His every beckoning call, as a servant. And then He said, I'm going to give you oversight, and that is to take attendance, to number everything, to appoint, look after, to pay attention, to observe, to seek, to pass and review. Sometimes I get annoyed sometimes with Tanya, and this is a bad confession. What are you doing looking at receipts again? Counting this and this and that and this and that? Because she's being very careful with everything that God has given us. I have a lot to learn from that. The balance has been swinging a little bit, you know, towards the middle, hopefully. But stewardship, think about this. The more we're responsible with even the smallest thing that's God given, whatever God's given you, whatever property, whatever buildings, whatever children, whatever people in your sphere of influence, how are you managing as an overseer? He gave them charge of His possessions. And when someone gives you charge, they say, I'm giving you the strength and the power and the support to take care of all this. He says, I'm not going to even worry about this, Joseph. You have it. And it was so, Joseph was such a good servant that he didn't have to worry except for what food he was going to eat for dinner. Now that is the living. That's the life. But just think about how we can, with whatever people or things God has put in our lives, make them feel no care and concern. Have God be in that place of He's always watching us, knowing that we take care. And then it says, and here's the other part. When we are in the presence of God, there is a supernatural, powerful blessing. Potiphar was no worshiper of God than anybody that's apart from Christ. Yet, it says his house, his land, everything was blessed. And that word blessing means to kneel. In other words, kneel and worship to God. But he was blessed. He felt this because Joseph had such a strong relationship with God. And when we're aware of God's presence, others are going to experience the residual effects. And that's the honey that draws people to Christ, is residual effects of God's blessing and favor in our lives. Not only that, in chapter 12, verse 3, what did God say to Abraham? I will bless those who bless you. So there was in that sense where Potiphar blessed Joseph and took care of him, and so God blessed his household. It's absolute trust. So before I go on, I just want to think of other examples. Let's think about the Word of God that we've been given. How much do I set it on the shelf, and how much do I make it grow in my life? How much do I just look at it, or how much do I read it and apply it in my life? and things begin to expand and grow in the kingdom of God. My instrument that I play, how much do I practice and work on it to do it for the glory of God? My body. This is going to meddle with most of us. What I put into it. Am I taking care of this for the best of God's glory so I can have more time of ministry to the people God has sent me to? There are some people that were so on fire for God and ministering, but this area of their life was off, you know. I think of D.L. Moody and some of the others, and they didn't exercise. He was a big old guy, but he died in an early age. His ministry was cut off. But yet his heart was sold out for the Lord. And that's the thing, where our hearts are sold out with the Lord, but the sanctification process in every area, it trickles. So I'm going to ask you to open up the floodgates, let it trickle into your finances, let it trickle into your possessions, let it trickle into your spiritual life, let it trickle into your worship, let it trickle into your time with God, let it trickle into how you manage children in your family. God, help us grow. That should be the cry of our hearts as the people of God. You want to know sometimes why someone has no need or want in their lives? Because they've been a good steward of what God has given them. And I'm not preaching that you're going to be rich, because as we come into this text and look what happened, Joseph did the right thing, but he was thrown in jail. Things don't always go how we want them. But then right away, he was put in charge of everything in the prison. He was right back up to that place of God's blessing no matter where he was. He bloomed where he was planted in the Lord. Number three. So number one, God's steward rests on a trusting relationship. Number two, his steward takes full responsibility to oversee the blessing of God. Take charge. Take careful attention for. Notice things that are going wrong around the home and church, and take care if you are permitted by God to do so. Number three, God's steward is content to measure all boundaries in life by God's standard. God gives us what He wants to give us. So now it seems here that Joseph was given charge of everything in his house. But there was one person in the house that he was not, or a sphere of that person. He was to take care of her needs. That was Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife. Not Joseph's wife, Potiphar's wife. And although he was given charge to look after her, he was in no place to use her in any way, shape, or form. Now, let's read on in verse 7 through 9. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. The end of verse 6. Some people, that's a blessing. Probably a lot of us wish that we were in form. Muscular, round as a shape, but not the form that he's talking about here. In appearance, easy for the physical human eye to look upon. God blessed him with that, but it also became a difficult thing, because look in verse 7, and after a time, his master's eye cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to the master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house. He has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" The key to being a steward is to measure all of our moral, social, spiritual boundaries by God Himself. God gives us what He wants to give us. And it's that old thing, like the Garden of Eden. God gave Joseph everything blessed him with all that he needed, and he didn't want a single thing more. I was like, Adam and Eve, you can eat all the fruit in the garden except this one tree. And guess what? That's where Adam and Eve went to go, to take what they couldn't have. The key to being a good steward is being content with what God has given you and living within the parameters that He has set, even if it might mean certain disaster or unpleasantness in our lives. And I want to encourage you to focus on what God has given you rather than what God has not given you. And I've spent plenty of my time in my life, and I'm sure that you have too, focusing on, well, I wish I had, I can name several things. I mean, if you all want to make a Christmas list, you know, that's okay. But it's not going to help my spiritual life. I need a side-by-side. I would like a tractor with a bucket. I would like a backhoe. I would like a bulldozer to pull down those trees. There's all kinds of things. And I look at that, maybe some other people might have some of those things. But God has given me everything that I need. And when we start focusing on what God hasn't given us, that's when we become bad stewards and God starts taking things away from us. Because we become bad managers when we're always looking at what we don't have because we don't have time to take care of what we do have because we're always looking for something more and something better and something different. The grass is greener over here. And God says, be content with what you have. And then the other part of that is that God is ultimately the one who entrusts us with this responsibility. And so don't take advantage of that trust that your boss gives you, that the people of God give you, that your family gives you. He says, you know, he was disturbed by this. Joseph said, I'm certainly not going to sin against my master and take an advantage of him. But then he wraps it up at the core, which brings it back to the presence of God again. Is that God defines what is right and wrong, and he refused to compromise on any moral because it was wickedness and sin against God. Sin against trust given, sin against the other person, and sin ultimately against God. Now, Joseph, it was real common during that time in Egypt that the servants would make political moves to move up the ladder. And this would be one such move to gain a political power over Potiphar and to use it against him. He chose not to. We have rationalizations to our sin. Remember, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, betrayed by his family. And when we go through rough times like that, sometimes we find ourselves making these rationalizations to sin. I've been through a lot lately and I just deserve this one little thing. Joseph could have said that. How many times have you said that? Don't answer out loud, please. Just this one little thing because I've been going through a rough time in my life. A God steward, Joseph, absolutely refused, said no. No one's going to ever know, right? Now, and if you read what's going on here, there was always other servants around. And, you know, she says at first, come and lie with me, which is very bold for a woman to do in the culture at that time. He says no. And then later, when the right opportunity comes, in verse 11, as we read on, no one was in the house. It was a bad circumstance. There was no witnesses around. And he could have rationalized, no one's going to ever know this. He could have rationalized, all the other servants are doing it. This is going to promote my career. Isn't meeting her needs the right thing to do? After all, Potiphar is gone all the time. Who knows what he's doing? He might be out on his yacht on the Nile River, whatever. Leaves Joseph to take care of everything he can. But he refused to let the rationalizations of sin do it. God's steward is content to measure all boundaries by God. And so I'm going to make this two parts because there's so much in it. But the marks of God's steward today is that God's steward rests upon this relationship of intimacy with Jesus. He is the one that gives us success. And then number two, I want to encourage you this week to begin to pray, God, what areas of my life have I not been a steward on? What areas can I grow? And don't think that everything is going to change all at once, because it's not. If you put that expectation on yourself, you're going to get discouraged and give up way too quickly. But like me, what I learned with the tractor, God's going to give you plenty of opportunities. Don't regret the past and the mistakes, or how you've trashed your house in the past, or you've let things pile up to the point where you can't even use the things that you've got because you haven't been a good steward of it. Today is a new day. It's a new start, one thing at a time. Whether you got, I don't know. It might be different for everyone. Maybe God wants you to start with your finances. Maybe God wants you to start with how you raise your kids. Maybe God wants you to start with the Bible, what you're a steward of the Word of God. Maybe He wants to start with how you take care of your property or your car. How you take care of this building. I don't know what it is, but God will make it clear to you as He leads you along, because He wants you to be clean and become a good steward in all areas. But it goes full circle to the presence of God. If we truly experience the greatness of God like we did when we partake of communion together, wow. We were singing those songs we share in this table. The privilege of being in God's presence when we don't deserve it should drive us to be stewards who have a trusting relationship, who are responsible over everything that we have, and be stewards who will not compromise, who will measure all their boundaries in life by God Himself, rather than the rationalizations of our feelings. I want to ask if our worship team would come, and we're going to, I think, have a celebration of God's grace, because it's God's grace that drives us to be good stewards of the things God has given us. Heavenly Father, we come before You today, and I thank You, Lord, for how You have literally began to pick apart the dividing of my soul and spirit with this text. And I pray the same for my brothers and sisters. Lord, we come humbly to it. We thank You for the example of Joseph, a godly man, who, a young man, an 18-year-old, who became so responsible, such a good steward. God, I pray that by the Holy Spirit's help in my life, in the life of my brothers and sisters here, God, that we would become a good community of good stewardship. Lord, our finances, our time, our relationships with others, our possessions would all be taken care of for Your glory. And most of all, God, our responsibility. Help us, Lord, with the responsibility that You've given us in Matthew 28, that You've entrusted us with the gospel to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing and making disciples of all nations. God, I pray that You would help us to see that task and responsibility and invest in it, invest in it, invest in it. Help us, Lord. God, I thank You for the power of Your grace and Your presence. We acknowledge and confess and thank You that You are the one that gives us any success. You are the one that is present with us, that makes the stewardship principle work. God, I pray that You drive it like a stake in our hearts, unmovable, this principle of Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.